Would $3,600 persuade you to move to another house? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The city of Seoul in South Korea is offering cash rewards to people living in cheap basement properties if they move above ground. Officials are trying to phase out the kind of properties after four people drowned during severe floods this summer. Those who do choose to move will get $150 a month over 2 years. The BBC's Celia Hatton explains how common these apartments are in the South Korean capital.
Well, they represent about 10% of all housing in Seoul. So not a small number. Across South Korea, there are around 360,000 of these sub-basement dwellings. So they're partially above ground, but mostly below ground.
And at $150 a month for 2 years, this is big spending for the government. But are people incentivized really by it to move?
I think most people will think, well, if it's just a difference of $150 a month, of course I would have already moved to an above ground place. Another initiative going on as well to try to simply upgrade these basement dwellings, to try to make them more livable, to make them safer in the event of flooding. That might get a little bit more uptake, I think.
Is there enough supply of above ground or higher that they could move to?
No, exactly. That's the problem, Victoria, that there just simply isn't enough affordable housing in Seoul. So a lot of people say, well, I can't move because if I did move to try to move to a cheaper place, I'd be so far outside the city. That's why the average price of a small dwelling is $760,000. The average salary of someone in Seoul is $1,500 a month. So really, there's a mismatch there, and that's why there's such a problem.
So if people do decide to take the government up on the renovation scheme, I suppose, does that eliminate the problem of flooding that we saw earlier this year?
It won't eliminate the problem of flooding, but I think there have been discussions about whether emergency exits can be installed, whether there can be more work done on installing dehumidifiers so mold is less of an ongoing problem. And so that's another discussion, looking at it from the perspective that we should make these dwellings more livable instead of doing away with them altogether.
The BBC's Celia Hatton for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, there's not much momentum for stock benchmarks across Europe, which are little changed at this hour. Some positive news, though, out of Germany. Data today showed that Europe's biggest economy grew slightly more than expected last quarter, thanks to more consumer spending. The annual outbreak of the flu is estimated to cost the U.S. economy billions of dollars every year. And while millions of people do get their flu shot, those are designed just to defend against a few different strains of the virus. What if there was a vaccine, though, that could prevent against all 20 known types of the flu? Scientists say they've made a breakthrough on designing such a thing that uses the same mRNA technology in COVID-19 vaccines. So far, it's only been tested in animals, but John Oxford, who is a professor of virology at Queen Mary University of London, said human trials may not be far off.
I suspect the first human data will come through in the next 6 months, but then you'll need another, say, 6 months. And this can be accelerated, and we've seen it with COVID, how this can be accelerated. It's an important topic. So the potential is huge, and I think sometimes we underestimate these big respiratory viruses. We've almost got a grip, I think, on the COVID. And I think now the influenza is the next big beast out there to tackle.
Well, the researchers say the experimental vaccine should offer broader protection than the current shots, which they say could help prevent future pandemics caused by new flu subtypes. The annual spending bonanza known as Black Friday kicks off the holiday shopping season today. But global inflation is continuing to rise, and Reuters analysis shows retailers across Europe worry it could be the worst season in at least a decade. Here in the UK, consumer prices are at a 41-year high, and people who spoke to the BBC this morning were clear that they are not feeling inclined to spend.
I am obviously having to cut back. It's only the children this year, so they're not doing the adults because of everything.
We've got quite a large family, so you've got to be a little bit careful. Obviously, you've got to pay your bills and everything else as well. It is quite difficult times.
I just think being a bit more mindful about what we're spending and when, and is it a necessity?
Well, sentiments there from shoppers across this country sum up what Daniel Warwood has been seeing at his electronics store called Sound and Vision in the southeast of England.
Lots of people are a lot more cautious at what they're buying. We're finding lots more people aren't coming in just to browse. It's purposeful buying. So they'll come in because they want to buy something. And with the cost of living side of things, I think they're looking at products that are a lot more energy efficient. So maybe not as cheap. They are a little bit more expensive, but they understand paying a little bit more money for the product in the long run is going to save them on their electricity.
And saving on electricity, I imagine, is something top of mind for you as a shop. I mean, do you still have display TVs on, for example?
We do, but I mean, we have solar panels on our building. And our service side of the business, we install solar, we have the batteries and things like that. So when it comes to efficiency, we're doing our best to help.
Have you noticed how people are paying for goods is changing with the cost of living crisis? Are people relying more on credit, or are you seeing people pay as they usually would?
We get a few people that want to pay with their credit card, but for us, we're finding people as normal payment.
How important is Black Friday for you this year? I guess I shouldn't say Black Friday, right? Because it's almost an entire 2 month period.
Black Friday for us, it's kind of the start of the busy period. I'm hoping it's going to be busy. There's not lots of discounts this year because stock availability is not great.
And that's because of supply chain issues or those like hangovers from the pandemic?
Yeah, we're getting, you know, anything coming from China, for instance, is taking a long time to get here now. And we're just seeing more and more products with delays now.
Daniel Warwood, the owner of Sound and Vision, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Well, if you are heading out for Black Friday, here's hoping your shopping spree is fueled by stuffing waffles. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter and Instagram if you're not sure what I am talking about. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.